Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WJLA 7 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
It's great to have choices, but if you have choices, it means you have to have some knowledge to make wise choices. Well, we consumers in the metropolitan area have the freedom to make choices in who provides our utilities, our electrical sources, who provides the gas to us, who provides electricity. Those are things that are really important to consumers. Those choices are available. But how do we make the right ones? Well, we're going to find out. We have with us today the spokesperson for the American Coalition of Competitive Energy Suppliers, also known as ACCESS. He's Michael Meath. And Michael, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. It's great to be with you today.
Well, I tell you, this is a very interesting choice because having the ability to make decisions like this is a good thing for consumers, but it also means that the crooks are watching. They know we have to make choices, and sometimes they take advantage of our lack of knowledge. So we're going to fill in a lot of gaps today. But first, let's just talk a little bit about the history. How did we evolve into the point where we now have choices in who supplies energy? Because that didn't used to be the case.
No, it didn't used to be the case. And if you look back really to the 70s, that's when this concept of choice, not just for energy, but in the transportation area, telephone. You might remember what happened with the telephones back when our choice was AT&T or Western Electric on the East Coast we had. The Bell companies, and then they started to break apart. Well, around that same time, but much more slowly, the energy industry, and when we're talking about the energy industry, I want to kind of, for today's show, make sure we're clarifying what we're talking about. We're not talking about the oil business. We're not talking about gasoline. That has been competitive and open in the marketplace for many, many decades. We're really talking about natural gas and electricity, the staples of most of your listeners that are heating their homes, you know, turning lights on in their houses, cooking on their stoves, those kinds of things. And those products, for most consumers, especially in the greater Washington, D.C. area, would be electricity and natural gas. There are exceptions to that, but to the large degree, that's them. Okay. And back in the 70s, there were some moves that were made by the federal government through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that started to break apart, if you will, the regulatory grip that was held on interstate pipelines that would bring this natural gas from the Gulf of Mexico up into the D.C. area, or that would take the power that was being produced at large hydroelectric, coal, nuclear power plants and took it a little bit out of the hands of the few that controlled it and started to break it apart. But that was more at the wholesale level. That really didn't give you or me any choice at that time. It just helped the people that supplied us, and which back then was really the utilities, more options. And slowly, at the very large industrial levels, then choice was made available where a factory could choose who would supply its electricity and so forth. And then that threshold came down over the next 15, 20 years so that then it was large manufacturing plants and then it was hospitals and then sooner or later it was school districts. But it still wasn't the consumer. It wasn't the homeowner. And that's only occurred over the last, oh, really 10 or 15 years where that kind of choice has been available. And I'll stop there and see if you want to continue on that thread and what happened since then, or maybe you want to ask me a question about the past.
Well, the only question that I have is that initially, who controlled the pipeline and the source? Was that the individual suppliers? Was the government involved in this? I guess we all wonder, well, how, you know, who built the pipelines and why do they now have to share them?
Well, it was generally private investors that would build these, and either it was the same organization that maybe was doing the exploration and, you know, getting the energy out of the ground or out of the Gulf, and they may or may not control pipelines. And then there were interstate pipeline companies, Transco, Texas Eastern, and those are just a couple of them, mm-hmm. Columbia, who also then had either as separate corporations or as a kind of a diversified, large, vertical organization that would have pipelines as well.
Okay.
And they did, in fact, control 100% of the energy that would move over the pipelines for natural gas.
So the deregulation of the industry then has meant that we as consumers now have the ability to make choices. It's the same sources of energy, but they're different people who are distributing. Would that be correct?
Yes, and then the same companies that would own either generating plants for electricity, because we've got fixated on the pipelines there for a little while, or the natural gas,
mm-hmm.
the ones that would control the what's called capacity, the distribution mm-hmm. of that, and having that ready, were then told, you need to make that available downstream to just about anybody who would want it, and not just a regulated utility.
Okay,
and
so now these companies could accurately, the people who are members of your association, Access, could they be called suppliers or retailers? It's just like buying a product and setting up your own store in competition with the department store or the online stores. So these would be new stores, in effect, for consumers to go to get a new source for their electricity and perhaps save money in the same. You know, I will tell you, Michael, we hear from a lot of consumers who are surprised that they have choices. So you all need to get the message out there, let me tell you.
That's what we're trying to do.
So, and then they're suspicious because they're thinking, okay, because, you know, if they listen to Call for Action, they know that we're focusing on scams a lot of the time.
Right.
So then they're concerned about, is this a scam, and so on. Okay, so
one more analogy might help before we move on to the kind of the next phase of what happened. Think of the interstate highway system.
Mm-hmm.
And consider that if you or I get onto, Route 95, Route 70, Route 81, that we're going to know that the interstate highway is going to basically be the same width, the signage is going to be the same, we're going to know what the speed limits mean all the way along, and whereas years and years ago, only one truck with one brand name could get on that highway to deliver goods and services,
mm-hmm.
now anybody can get on there to deliver those. That's what's happened to the energy system.
Okay, so, and that's a good way to summarize it and to give it put it in people's minds, because, you know, I think we all, sometimes it takes us a little while to catch up with something new. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Michael Meath. Michael is the spokesperson for the American Coalition of Competitive Energy Suppliers, which is a mouthful, so let's call them ACCESS, A-C-C-E-S. Okay, now, I do know that I've talked to a number of people in my office, for example, who use alternate supplies other than the utilities. So now, these companies that are set up, Michael, are they set up to follow the same rules and regulations that are handed down that govern the utilities, or are they more free market out there, able to do more with less supervision?
Well, actually, they have more rules than people might think they do.
Okay.
The idea was to open up the marketplace. Utilities did exactly what they were supposed to do for the last 100 years, provide a reliable supply of electricity or natural gas to a consumer. But the only problem with that was you could only get one color. You know, you could have any color.
So if you didn't like blue, you were out of luck, okay?
Right. So what happened is slowly, state by state, and there's about 25 states around the country that have migrated to some form of choice, in the district as well. And that migration has included strong oversight by what's called the Public Utility Commissions.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the body in the district or in the state of Maryland, for example, or Delaware, or wherever we were, who oversees and has overseen the utilities for all these years, are now also overseeing.
So they, in effect, regulate. There is regulation. So we're not seeing these fly-by-night companies. I'm just trying to establish the chain of command, so to speak, in this circumstance. Okay, so we've got these suppliers. And I know I get approached. I just got something in the mail last week about how I could save on my electricity. So now let's segue to today. How do we as consumers make wise choices, Michael? How do I know whether or not, and you know, the offers can be very attractive that come through. This offer that came to us was a very attractive rate for our electricity, but it was only for 6 months. So now what happens after that 6 month period? How do consumers evaluate these offers? Because I know your job is to talk about the alternate suppliers, and that's fine. But how do consumers make the wise choice for them?
Right. Well, the whole point, Shirley, of Access is to help consumers understand what it means to make a choice, understand what rights they have, and understand how to look at a potential contract, the questions to ask a supplier, to understand a little bit more what the options might look like, because you said you got an offer, 6 months, looked pretty good. Well, I immediately have five more questions, like, well, what's it for? Is it a fixed price? Is it for a variable price? Does it include anything that's more of like an energy green offer as opposed to just a traditional energy purchase? If it's something that's going to be billed separately or rolled up and compiled in the bill that you already get from your utility, what if you don't like it after 2 or 3 months? Those are the exact reasons that Access is an organization that is out there.
Well, I was intrigued with the discussions that I had before and the information that I got about your organization. Now, first off, these questions that you're telling me that the consumer needs to ask, are those on your website? Can consumers go to your website as a source of information to help them make wise decisions?
Absolutely.
And what is the website?
It is competitiveenergy.org, not .com, competitiveenergy, all one word, .org.
Which means you're a nonprofit organization, as is Call for Action. So welcome to the club. Okay. So competitiveenergy.org. You can get questions. You've got information there for consumers. But now you also recently did a study. And tell us about what that study revealed to you in terms of consumers. And
sure.
Choice.
What we did is we decided to get an independent study done. So we hired a polling company and said to them, please go talk to 500 consumers in the state of Ohio, which is a very, very strong choice state. Ohio has been pretty much fully deregulated, meaning it's fully competitive, for many years now. And then let's take 500 consumers who live in a state that has very little, if any, competition, Florida. And these two states also were pretty significant because they're both considered swing states in elections. They were huge in the 2016 federal elections, for example. So we wanted to see, was there any difference in terms of how people viewed this concept of choice in a state where they've had it for the last dozen or 20 years versus somebody who doesn't have it at all? And what we found, really simply, is that more than three-quarters of the residents of both states either felt that, you know what, I love my choice, I love the ability to pick and think about what it is I want to do with my energy in Ohio, and in Florida, I wish I had the ability to do that. That's in a nutshell. That's what the study told us.
Okay. So, and of course, that's very important to you. And also, I'm sure you're looking at areas that don't have a competitive market yet and hoping that's going to change. So now, how do consumers find out if, in fact, they have Access in their particular area? It's a state-by-state thing, right? Not county?
Okay. Now, there's two ways. One way is they can start by going to our website if they wish. And I'm going to give you an alternative way in case somebody's saying, I don't know if I trust this guy yet. I don't know if I want to go to his website.
They should trust you, Michael.
but they can go to our website and look under what's called Consumer Tools, and they'll find that the third button down is state-by-state information.
Okay.
They'll be able to click right. It's an interactive map. They can click on that on their state and see whether there's any choice there or not.
Great.
That's number one.
Great.
Number two, and from our website, they can find the address for what I'm going to tell you next, and that is that they can go to the Public Utility Commission of their state. Now, that gets a little bit harder. Not that it's not good information. It's great information, but we're talking government regulatory gobbledygook. So I spent decades of my career trying to be the boil-down artist to understand government information. So it's a little harder if I'm in, let's say I'm in Maryland, and I want to go to the Maryland Commission, and I want to understand a little bit more what choice is, and if my particular utility and who I get served by, whom delivers my electricity, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that if they have choice in what requirements, what suppliers might be either licensed, in most states they call it a license, in some states they don't even call it a license, they just say that a supplier is approved or is eligible to supply a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, those suppliers have to pass the muster of that state public utility commission before they can hang their shingle out.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Michael Meath. He is the spokesperson for the American Coalition of Competitive Energy Suppliers. The acronym is ACCESS, A-C-C-E-S. The website is competitiveenergy.org, and you can find a lot of valuable information there. Now, let's move on to some of the questions that consumers contact Call for Action about. Okay, now you're telling me that we can go to your website and get a list of questions and things that we should consider, but let me ask you some of the more practical ones. What happens if the electricity goes out in my area? Okay.
Great question. Probably one of the top two questions. The
mm-hmm.
other one I'm waiting for.
Because,
to see
I mean,
me
I'm
well,
assuming but... you're using the same lines.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Go back to my analogy of the interstate highway
mm-hmm.
system. It doesn't
right. If
make
the
sense
road's blocked there, it doesn't matter where you're coming from.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's the same pipes running into your house.
Whether it's natural gas or electricity.
Right.
Okay.
It's the same
All right.
wires.
And what's number two?
Number two is usually...
I'm going to let you interview you.
Yeah. So the second question I get usually is, does that mean that if I'm going to switch suppliers, that somebody's going to have to come and dig up my front yard or run a new wire
mm-hmm.
to my house?
Well, I know the answer to that.
The answer is no.
That's right.
We're going to use the same
the same supply.
The
right. same source of supply, except that it's going to be provided by somebody different. Okay. Now, what if that company goes out of business? That does happen.
Well, it does happen, but it doesn't happen any more regularly than the guy that mows your lawn or plows your
mm-hmm.
snow or
mm-hmm.
fixes your water heater. So that's why people have to relax about that.
But what would happen? Let's just take a case. Let's suppose I make a change to my electric supplier, and the company that I went to, they suddenly go out of business. They go bankrupt or whatever.
Right.
What's going to happen to my electricity?
Well, every state, Shirley, has what's called a provider of last resort
mm-hmm.
process. It could be that the utility steps back in and takes care of you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that there's another provision where there's another supplier out there. So I'm an energy supplier.
Mm-hmm.
I go out of business. Shirley, you're a supplier, and you've got an arrangement with the state
mm-hmm.
or the district that says, if anybody goes out of business, I'll step in and take care of them. And
okay.
you might there are states that actually have those providers.
Things all set up.
Resort.
All right, now how do I know when I'm a consumer? Now, I want to talk about slamming in a minute, but right now, if I'm a consumer, how do I check out the company that has contacted me about providing me with service? How do I find out if they're reliable, that their
sure.
source is good, that you know that they're paying their bills and all of that kind of good stuff?
Well, first of all, I'm going to want to go on to the Public Utility Commission website
okay.
and make sure that they're listed there as an approved supplier.
Ah, okay.
One.
So that's really important to check out that they have been approved by the state
yeah.
of Maryland to supply electricity or natural gas, whatever my choice might be.
That's right. Yep.
And will that's they number have, one. Do they register complaints about these companies if the service is not good or whatever? Do they
Absolutely.
Register? Okay. So, and then if a consumer has concerns about the changes in their rate suddenly, then they can go to the utility commission as well.
They can go to the utility commission as well. They should start with their supplier.
Okay. That makes sense, of course.
Right. And then they can call their utility. But remember, the utility at this point is providing the delivery service, and they're charging for that as they should mm-hmm. and need to. But they're not able to necessarily help with resolving the supply side questions or concerns mm-hmm. that somebody might have, which is why you would go then to either the Public Service Commission, as okay. it's called in Maryland, a Public Utility mm-hmm. Commission mm-hmm. is the same words,
right.
or they may have a separate, some states have what's called an Office of People's Counsel. That's in Maryland, mm-hmm. there is such an organization. Others have maybe a consumer advocate.
Sure.
And you might call that state office with your cable bill, your water system, your electricity mm-hmm. bill. You have concerns with any of those kind of utility areas. So there's another avenue. Now, you asked about the health of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best way to check the health of the company, because, you know, the Michael Energy Company could maybe get approved, but then not be paying its bills, not be treating its customers well, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. So the best way to do that is the same way you would do that in anything else in life, and that is
check. Well, I would go online.
Business Bureau. Yeah. Yep. Are they? Do they? Is there any other kind of blogs that are out there?
Well, you know
about
what I do?
Company?
I go what? Online and I put in the name of the business and I put complaints
mm-hmm.
or problems or
sure.
fraud or anything like that to see what comes up associated with that name. Then that, you know, that's a starting point
right.
for consumers. If you
the
don't
good news
have
about
that,
today's
go to the
world.
Library. Yeah.
Right. The good news about today's world is there's so much information available at our
that's
fingertips.
True.
It's hard to hide.
That is true. It is. Well, sometimes they do. Now, let's talk briefly, and we don't have very much time, about slammers and what they are. Now, what we hear is someone will call us up and say, I got my electric bill, and it's not from my normal electric company. It's another company that I never heard of. And then, of course, we know they've been slammed. Now, this is not as common as it used to be with telephones. I mean, that we used to say that some companies got their start in slamming consumers.
Right.
That's switching the service provider without the consumer's permission. But it does happen. So what do you say to consumers? How can they avoid this? One of the things that we've heard people say is, well, you know, they'll call me up and they'll say, is this Shirley Rooker? And when I say yes, they'll record that and claim that I was saying yes to their service. Slick, huh?
Well, I've not heard that one before. That's interesting.
Well, it happens with a lot of types of scams. But at any rate, we're almost out of time. So let's just go over some of the things. We need to educate ourselves before we make choices. There's a lot of choices out there for consumers. Go to your website, competitiveenergy.org, to get a lot of the questions and things answered. If people are not online, Michael, do you have a phone number they can call?
We do not have a phone number.
Okay.
I would suggest that they
go to the library.
They go to the library or also call their public utility commission.
Gotcha.
That varies state by state.
Yeah, and you can find those listed in your telephone directory there usually, or they can contact Call for Action for that kind of information. Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could cover, but I really wanted to get in a little bit of background on this because I think consumers are very interested in it and they want to know how did this all come about? And you've done a great job of helping us to understand that, Michael. So let's again repeat, the website is competitiveenergy.org. They're a nonprofit organization. Go and use their information. Michael, I've been talking with Michael Meath, who is the spokesperson for the American Coalition of Competitive Energy Suppliers. And I'm Shirley Rooker. You can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WJLA 7 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.